Game Cross is his last time, guys. If you want to, you gotta come up to do it. First presentation, which is the B-Book Smart Fair, with Vice President Bhatnagar to present. Can I get a seconder for the presentation? Sure, Councilor Rates. Any opposition?
Are you going to do attendance?
Thank you. Let's do it. People are going to, I'm going to do it after the presentation because I've got to get it all open.
Really?
Yeah.
No, do attendance. Get her not going.
I don't know where it is. That's the problem. Sorry, everyone. Just continue.
I convinced one of the accountants in my office to watch it.
Okay, President Morrison.
Here.
Vice President Bhatnagar.
Present.
Vice President Brown. Vice President Ripka.
Are you checking the live stream as well?
What?
Are you checking the live stream as well? Councillor Bose?
Yes.
Councillor Mustafa? Councilor Chung. Councilor St. Hilaire. Councilor Sunday.
Here.
Councilor Bertaroli. Councilor Palmer. Councilor Azuki.
Proxy.
Councilor Hadouche.
Here.
Councilor Kim.
Hello.
Councilor Mahinta.
Here.
Councilor Agarwal.
Hi.
Councilor Rizvi. Saw on the live stream. Councilor Bruce. And Councilor Buffer. Cool. All right. We'll start this presentation now. I signed you out again.
I just shared.
Do you see attendance?
I have access to the
okay. Right.
So has anyone actually seen any content from the Be Book Smart? Or I guess I'll introduce myself first. Hi, my name is Akesha. I'm the Vice President of Academic here at the Students Union. So has anyone seen any campaign materials regarding the Be Book Smart campaign anywhere or anytime in their time as a student? Cool. So that's one of the big reasons that we wanted to do this presentation and as well as this fair. Has anyone spent money on textbooks before? Cool. This is another reason why I wanted to go to this. So the Be Book Smart Fair is going to be like a physical manifestation of the Be Book Smart campaign. That's a campaign that the Students' Union puts on every year that talks about affordability in the classroom. So the Be Book Smart Fair is supposed to just be a way for students, staff, and faculty to be able to connect and talk to other sort of subject matter experts on various issues regarding affordability. So the campaign is sort of going to be an event from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. On some atrium with various booths where you're able to go and talk to different people, and each booth will have its own sort of theme. So the date is going to be September 13th, 2018, which is the day before the ad drop deadline, which is one of the biggest reasons that we chose to do it so early on in the school year versus a little bit later. It's also the prime time where students are going to be purchasing textbooks, returning textbooks, or being in the general vicinity of sub, going into the bookstore. So the target audience for the Be Book Smart Fair is going to be essentially every single student on campus, but more specifically, just for us to market it, we're going to be targeting it more at sort of new students, looking at students and faculties with higher textbook costs, so that's pre-professional programs, so for example, medicine, dentistry, business, pharmacy, and courses that have textbooks that are pre-assigned, so the ones that you pay for within your tuition and then you're given access to codes and stuff. Students who have any sort of financial barriers, any students who weren't aware that they have alternative options other than textbooks, and students who don't really know what an open educational resource is. And the value that the Be Book Smart Fair will hopefully bring to our campus is going to be that it's an interactive way, again, for students to sort of physically see what affordability in the classroom looks like. It's going to educate students on their options, their cost-saving options, and sort of talking about accessible education. Going to empower students to learn about the language regarding e-books for art and affordability in their classroom so they're able to have more frank and open conversations with their professors. And it's going to give them overall generally good information just about what it's like to be a student on this campus. And it's also going to allow for you to have face-to-face connection with various stakeholders in, I guess, the realm of textbooks on campus. So the bookstore, different professors, different librarians, different professors who put on courses that are actually developed through an open education resources, so through an online sort of free model, and also talk to different upper level university administration who will be attending the event throughout the entire day. So the Be Book Smart Fair is gonna be hosted in Sub Atrium, which is a centralized location with good traffic. The farmer's market, actually the first of the year, is also gonna be happening on the exact same date. So that'll be on the upper level of Sub. So hopefully we're going to get extra, I guess, traffic in through sub that day. So hopefully we'll get a lot of people out at the Be Book Smart Fair. The hope is that you come down the stairs and you spend probably about 5 to 10 minutes in this space, and you get a passport at the beginning of your, I guess, journey at a booth. And every time you hit a booth, you get a stamp on this passport. If you go to 6 of the 8 booths or 7 of the 10 booths or a number that is still to be decided, Your name will get put into draws to enter like a various level of prizes. So we have a couple of small prizes, a couple of medium level prizes, and then at the end of the event, we'll be announcing sort of a live large prize. And also it's a very accessible space just in Sun in general, also really pretty. So this is sort of the marketing themes that we've been discussing with our marketing team. It's very similar to the new rebrand of the Bee Book Smart Fair that we launched at the soft launch at the beginning of May. And this is just a little bit judged. The one on the longer one is gonna be handbills or like in the shape of, in the style of a bookmark for a tabling at Week of Welcome. So hopefully it'll be an easy way for students to just grab and get a little bit of information. And then the poster is gonna sort of look exactly like that. And we'll do another version with less text. And also, as you can probably see, the location in the posters is just incorrect, but these are still just up in the air. So pretty much, if you want to get involved with this, I'm going to be doing a call for volunteers pretty soon here. Essentially, I think this is a great way for counselors to talk to a bunch of different students. You can wear the nice jackets that we ordered for like the third time in a week. Other than that, it's a pretty straightforward presentation. I want to leave a lot of time for feedback and questions. And just want to make council aware of the event happening so that you're able to provide, again, any feedback that you may have. And that's literally all I have. It's quick stuff.
What's the budget?
There's already a budget line in my budget for this. I don't know the exact number. It is split between GovWeek and Bee Book Smart. I think it's around $3,500. All my costs are going to be internal facing to the SU, so like technically monopoly money, and then the only outward facing dollars I'll be spending is like the prizes, which are going to be under $200.
So then where is most of the $3,500?
It's the first split for GovWeek and for Bee Book Smart. So everything for GovWeek will also come out of that budget. Councilor Molly.
I have two questions. So you already identified WOW as a way to target those groups that you mentioned. Is there any other ways that you would, that you're wanting to advertise and get the word out about this to like other groups that were in that list?
Yeah, so after this presentation, so tomorrow morning, I'm gonna launch like a social media event for it. Which will be hosted by the UASU Facebook. So that'll be our online presence. We're gonna do a couple of, we're going to a couple of like meetings with FAs and stuff where I'll bring it up. And then I'm also gonna be doing like an email to FAs, DAs, faculty associations, department associations, and residence associations, just to sort of see like if they're interested. And then I'm gonna be doing probably 5 to 10 class talks in the fall, just with first year specific students. And your second question?
Yes. So, yeah, I'm so here for this. I was just wondering if you had any long-term visions of like what accessibility in terms of like academic resources look like.
So I think the number one barrier that students face, other than tuition and the regular day-to-day costs, is academic materials. And the hope is that this sort of affair will attract students and staff so that staff will be able to understand, or professors, I guess, will be able to understand that they also have alternative options other than using textbooks in the class, because as much as we assume that professors don't know, it's like that's actually fact. A lot of professors don't know that they have the option to use other resources. So one thing I did was send out like an open letter to professors, sort of telling them about their options, and then this is sort of a physical way for them to connect the same thing. But the long-term goal is that students are just able to afford what their classroom looks like.
So I guess just first is a comment and then a question. For the comment, for the handbills, I think that would be a good opportunity if you could have some handbills or maybe even yourself be present at the council booth at 12.
Oh, cool.
I think that would be a great opportunity to get the word out to Aboriginal students. And then my second question is, for people who may not be aware, what are open educational resources?
That is a good an important question. So open educational resources are essentially online free educational tools that professors can use. So essentially, they're anything that you've ever accessed online, a YouTube video, a course reading, the article that your prof sends you, can be considered an open educational resource. And so the goal is that profs will take all these different resources, articles, journal articles, YouTube videos, and consolidate them and remix them into a sort of reading list or a course pack, essentially, that students can connect with. So they're all resources that are available freely online for anyone to sort of use and have copyright that is able for students to also cite in their readings and stuff. It's kind of a very broad and vague concept, but they're raising it as free and online. It's good stuff. Any other questions, comments, or feedback? See none. I will see you all on September 13th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And that's all I have.
I am speaker for all of, or sorry, yeah, speaker for all of one motion this year, hopefully. Presentation titled Council Involvement at WOW / NSO, Students Abstract, Student Council Involvement Opportunities, Presenters Colin, Connor Paladin, Chair of CAC, Andrew Bourgeois, Vice President of Student Life, Students Union. Bourgeois moves to allow the Council Involvement at WOW NSO presentation. Can I have a seconder for that motion? Councilor Sunday, any opposition? Seeing none, I'm back to clicking buttons.
I can start. Hello, everyone. I am so excited to give this presentation. I can barely stand still. So we did a bunch of digging, and we found out what all of the various things that we can get involved in at council, at we can welcome our four student counselors. And here's what we came up with. It's pretty exciting. So to summarize, we can get involved with TWOW, which, as was mentioned, is the kind of transitions program for Indigenous, new Indigenous students, as well as residence events, like that includes move-in to Lister. It includes doing the East Campus event that they do called Eastern Ascent. Faculty associations have some time. We'll get into all of these things in the presentation.
So yeah, I just want to jump in. This is a reminder, because I know not a lot of people were present at that meeting earlier in the semester, but we did update standing orders, so there is now an expectation that everyone on Students' Council commit about 1 hour of time during Week of Welcome New Student Orientation. Because, and the reason we created this was because it's so important for us to be out there and engage first-year students and give them a positive impression of governance and Students' Council and who we are during their first times here before they get too caught up in classes and club activities, and they kind of forget about us. The other expectation is that you contact your faculty association by June. So it's already August, so we just ask and you do reach out to your faculty association, and the reason for this is gonna come up a little bit later into the presentation.
Cool. Yeah, so like, just go back for one sec, Reed. Like, as kind of, I guess, council and executive, I think it's super important for like us, the executive, to make sure that we're out there meeting people, being at the events, attending this kind of stuff. So this is kind of like, this presentation will be what things are available to you through the Students' Union, but that doesn't mean that with this presentation ends all of the opportunities that you can get involved with, like namely reaching out to your faculty or your faculty association.
Yeah, and I just want to ask you one question. Who here, like, raise your hand if you're already involved in WOW or New Student Orientation? So a few people.
And there are definitely more than are here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people. So, like, it's one of, like, the biggest, I'll say this, I don't know if it's true, but it's probably, like, one of the biggest events the entire year, just, like, the whole first week. Like, there's always stuff happening, and there's lots of different ways for you to get involved. So if you're not already involved, like, we're going to give you some, like, fantastic opportunities that don't require a lot of training or knowledge. You kind of just show up and get to talk to your constituents.
So, to WOW. So, I don't know about the sign-up process for to WOW, but I'm sure that Counselor Sunday can help out with this with information, but maybe Connor knows.
Yeah, so I'm going to send out an Excel sheet tonight where you can put down your name. I'm going to pass it along to Counselor Sunday. He's kind of running point on this, and he's been coordinating with Discover Governance to make sure we have a spot booked. So me and him are just going to make sure that all the logistics are sent out to everyone who wants to volunteer. Basically, it's happening at the Education Gym on August 30th. It's a Thursday afternoon. You just show up. We're going to have handbills for you. We're going to have a Students Council banner. The first person there just got to set it up. It takes 30 seconds. And then basically, you just get to stand there and talk about Students Council and what we do, especially for incoming and continuing enrollment students.
Question?
Did you have a question?
Sorry, don't need to hide that presentation.
No.
I'm just going to say, tell everyone Chihuahua means welcome in Greece. Lots of people have asked me that before. So.
Oh, cool. I thought it was like a play on wow. That's awesome. It's like both. That's great.
And it is only a 90-minute event, so probably expect to be there like 15 minutes early, 15 minutes late.
Oh, no, it's, sorry, booth setup is from 12 to 1:45, so like they actually close the doors 15 minutes before 2.
Sure.
And
so cool.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
That's okay.
It's just, I'm in there for the faculty of Native Studies.
Good stuff.
And then they close it 15 minutes before to make sure everyone's ready, and then they open the doors at 2. Sort of.
No, that's okay. That's not on the website, so like that's more than I wanted.
No, I know it's not. It's, cool. It's because that's for, yeah.
Well, I'm going to let Andre talk about this one.
Okay. So, yeah, I've kind of been coordinating with some people from residents, like the various residences and Res Life people. There are two events that are available for you to get involved with. The first one is Lister Move-In. If you are planning on signing up for Lister Move-In, please do so ASAP. Like, it should not be closed, but sorry, never mind. This one is closed, so I sent out messaging before this, like letting you all know to please sign up, so I hope you did. Eastern Ascent, on the other hand.
I'll just interrupt. But we do have the contact info, so if you really want to volunteer and you're available, I'm sure they wouldn't say no to volunteers, so we can still inquire about you volunteering.
Cool. The other one is Eastern Ascent, which is on September 6th. So this one, we have a tabling spot booked for Students' Council. We kind of expect that two people will be manning the table at all times, and then after the event runs during the night, it's pretty nice. It's just like an opportunity for you to come hang out, eat some snacks, meet some people, and welcome people into East Campus Village. If you'd like to get involved with that, please send me an email. Faculty Association time. This is an exciting thing. This is new to new student orientation this year. So at the end of your second day of orientation now, because orientation is now on the Friday and then also on the subsequent Monday, there will be a one-hour slot provided for new students to meet their faculty associations. So what that looks like depends on the various faculty association and what they've decided to do with that time. Smaller faculties might do some like icebreakers or activities. Larger ones might just do like kind of a large social with music. If you want to get involved with that though, please email your faculty association directly. Say like, hi, I'm whatever counselor. I would love to get involved and like attend this just so you can see like how you fit into whatever activities they have planned. Oh, also that is 2 to 3 p.m. on the Monday of orientation, which is Monday, September 3rd. President's address. So, is everyone here kind of familiar with what president's address is? No?
Yes.
I heard somebody say no. So, briefly, president's address is the grand finale of new student orientation. All of the students that are present at the end of the day go into the Butter Dome. They're all seated with their faculties, and then there are like myself and the other three VPs will be the MCs for the evening. President Larson will give a 10-minute or so speech addressing all of the new students as well as the president, Dr. David Turpin. And yeah, it is an exceptionally spectacular event. We had a record attendance last year. It's like 6,000 people. There's glow sticks. It's magical. I highly recommend coming out. 3 p.m. Monday is when it starts, like, it's like kind of like a party, it like starts going, and then speeches start at like 4. Show up, decide, like, wear your jackets, you can just like show up, pop in, sit with your faculty, it's great. Cool. Okay, so I'll take the first half of this part, and Counselor Palandak can take the second part. So, typically at Week of Welcome in the clubs fair, in the tents, we have a table set up for Students' Council, but it is typically like kind of separate from the general SU stuff, like whether that be the peer support advertising or subprint or whatnot. This year we're doing it all together. So we have council with the students union at large. There'll be a section of a 40-foot display for students council, and it's very critical, as has been underlined, that we get enough volunteers at this booth. Because we are looped in now with the rest of the SU, it reflects very poorly if we do not have people at that table at all times. So if you are signing up for shifts, please make sure that you can attend the shift, because it will look very bad if we don't. Connor, do you have anything to add to that?
So just to add in, and previously, I'll just jump in a couple slides back. We did talk about the faculty association time. That's why contacting the faculty association at this point is so important, because you want to make sure you have a good relationship so you get invited, because that's where all the first-year students from your faculty are going to be. And those are the ones who you're going to want to talk to throughout the whole year, because this is like their first year at U of A, and you're representing them on these really critical issues we discussed here. And then for this one specifically, this is all about that 1 hour expectation of time that we're hoping everyone can commit during the whole week. So ideally, like, the booth is going to be there from Monday to Thursday.
Monday to Thursday.
Yeah. So Monday to Thursday, so ideally, like, it's not open like 9 to 5, so it's open in like kind of around lunchtime to later afternoon, and we'll confirm the times on the sign-up sheet that we're going to send out. But like, we really do need someone there at all times. Because just think, you put yourself in the shoes of a first-year student, or even like a senior-level student who's walking around the WOW Village, and they see all these SU booths and they're all manned, and they come to Students Council and there's no one there, and there's just a bunch of empty handles on the desk. Like, that leaves a really poor taste in their mouth. So we just want to make sure that we have someone there, and we did commit to having a spot in the WOW Village rather than Clubs Fair, because it'll give us more recognition, and we are part of the SU, so it puts us right with the other SU stuff, which is going to look way better for our image, and it's going to allow us to engage way better with students. But with that, like, it makes it look way worse if we're not there. We're not the COVID, we're a functioning part of the SU, and we're a really important part of the SU. So I can't say enough how important it is that we get someone there at all times.
Sign-up sheet will go out this week. It's being run by one of our people in our marketing department, and she'll get it all put together for us. Connor, this is you.
Okay. I already mentioned this at the beginning, but the interviews for the gateway, this is the first time we've ever done this. We wanted to get counselors in front of the gateway so that students can start to recognize who we are. So we've been talking to Richard from the gateway, and he has offered to videotape counselors in a bunch of different preset things they already have. So if you're interested, come talk to me. They want to film by the end of August, so it's really important that we get our names out there. And if you're comfortable being on camera, it's a good opportunity for you to kind of put a face to the name. Yeah, so what questions do you guys have about all this?
Sure. Not going to tell you about the presentation or the content, but I was just wondering why the presentation wasn't provided on the Twitter papers.
It was, Andre was at Suds, so we didn't really get a chance to finish until today.
I have a question about the gateway presentation. Are we hoping to continue that on throughout the entire year so that we see the faces of counselors throughout the entire year, instead of just being at the beginning of the year and then everyone forgets who they are by November?
With this, we don't really plan what happens with the gateway. They are independent.
And the follow-up question is, where are you planning to use that pages, where, if you are aware?
It'll be on the Gateway articles.
Gateway. Like, that's not us.
Yeah, but I'm just asking if he's aware.
No, but there'll be, like, articles on the Gateway website, as far as I know.
I would not speak on behalf of the Gateway, so, yeah, I don't.
That's what they told me, so I'm just, oh, okay. Yeah. Any other questions? Well, like I said, I will be sending out the sign-up sheet for TA to WOW, and the Clubs Fair, or sorry, the WOW Village will be sent out. Call it yours.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. Cool. So we'll jump right into executive committee reports. Would any of the executives like to give a report? raise your hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're old school. Am I supposed to ban you?
Great. Thank you. I just wanted to give a couple of extra updates, which was not reflected on my written report. So this past weekend, the executive team was at SUDS, and I forgot to report that we went to one of the best communications sessions ever. And I think it was really interesting to see the way that University of British Columbia works with their communications team, and I'm excited to sort of bring some of that work here. The second thing I wanted to report again on was the ARC Town Hall is happening on September 27th. So if everyone could please book their calendars to show up for that day, it's integral that people sort of show up and give their feedback on the recommendations that ARC will be publicly releasing. And the last report is going to be that the STRIDE applications have finally opened. So if you're unaware, STRIDE is a students' union campaign school put on for women and non-binary individuals to get involved and introduced to what student governance looks like. And the hope is that they'll get involved in upper-level elections. This past STRIDE cohort, every single member of the cohort either ran in an election or was a support member on a team for an executive election. So if you have any other questions about the STRIDE applications and you yourself are wanting to get involved, please send your questions to stride@su.ualberta.ca. That's all. Thank you.
President Marks.
Some really short updates. The executive committee spent the last Friday through Monday at the Students' Union Development Summit. It was actually a fairly well put together summit. We've taken away quite a few things. Myself in particular, I'm hoping to follow up on some opportunities for both SUTB and the STRIDE program nationally, so we'll see how those go. Something to note from today, because Vice President Brown is not here, is we met with MP Bossino of Edmonton Center. Lovely meeting, high energy. We're going to be following up with a number of initiatives for both Get Out the Vote and public awareness. Finally, I have started to do some work on general public awareness for the Students' Union running into the elections period. It'll likely be a proposal that comes to Finance Committee in the near future, and it will involve a number of, I'd say, strategic spends to make sure that not only the community, but voters at large understand what a Students' Union does, or what a student association's value is on a campus as large as the University of Alberta. I've been talking to, as well, something new, which is external GROC, or external government relations individuals, trying to get advice that isn't necessarily based on what is the student vision of the university, but the community at large. I think we all fairly well value education, we all fairly highly value post-secondary education in particular, but we have to find a way to communicate that value outwards to people who might not. So that's a challenge for myself going forward. Finally, I'm pretty excited to just highlight the report that we finally closed. The donations from Moody's, very big thank you to them and their team over there. We may have some more public rollout messaging in the future, but for now we're just kind of cruising speed. All the money will be going towards a tax law, I can't remember what it's called, but it's an event thing, to the campus food bank.
Thank you, President
Larson. And that's about
Vice President Perkwan.
Yeah, just a couple quick updates. I got a tour of Shalafu Hall today. It's very nice. I think that students will love to live there. The windows are huge in the room, so like height. Also, if any counselors are interested, the Alberta Association for Sexual Assault Services is doing a video series where individuals who are being called thought leaders give their opinions on three questions that they have prepared, and it's for the hashtag I Believe You campaign. We have enough video footage at this point, but I would love to see some students, counselors getting in on this. If you are interested, send me an email. We would film either tomorrow or Thursday if you'd like to. So, yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Vice President Bergwalk. Do you have reports for President Larson on behalf of?
I would just say, see the VP Brown's and VP Ripka's written reports. VP Brown sent his regards. He's at Alumni Council tonight, and he can't call into two council meetings at once, so he is there. VP Ripka is currently on vacation.
All right, VP Ripka is in the live stream.
Yes, but it is also on vacation. So thank you, VP Retro, for doubling down.
All right, cool. Let's move on to board and committee reports. So we'll start with Park.
I do have, so in addition to my written report, I have something that I wrote down. I'm just pulling it up. Okay, oh yeah. In addition to my written report, I would like to reiterate the importance of having counselor attendance at the meetings of ARC. Not only is it important so that counselors can stay up to date on reconciliation activities within the union, but attending meetings of ARC provides you an opportunity to ask questions, like how you can access Aboriginal students or student groups within your faculty. Although we cannot force your adherence, nor would we wish to, I would like to call on the education counselors specifically. As the Faculty of Education has the largest percentage of Aboriginal undergraduates at the university, it is important that you are representing them accurately. As well, I would like to call on the Vice President External, who is the only executive to have not shown up at a meeting of ARC yet. As Aboriginal students, specifically status Indians, are heavily influenced by federal government policy, it is important that the Vice President External takes a more active role in advocating for Aboriginal undergraduate students at the University of Alberta. And that's it for my presentation.
Cool, thank you, Councillor Sunday. For audit, I'll just go with a quick update. We haven't had a meeting yet. Council August 14th meeting, there was nothing to discuss. Our next meeting will take place at some point in September. We're still working on getting down a meeting schedule. That's it for me. Moving on to bylaw.
Hi everyone. So as you can see, I have submitted our first and my first bylaw trimester report, and you can see more details of what bylaw has been doing and are currently working on. So bylaw committee met twice before the last council on August 1st and August 15th, and our next bylaw meeting will be on August 29th. Today we have two items on the agenda, like three items on the agenda, one for bill that regarding chair's training, one regarding our second principle of our bylaw 100, and one looking for position for another council member to join our lovely bylaw team. And you can find more details on my report, and if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. Our next meeting is once again next week. Our meeting for the fall hasn't been decided yet. The time for the fall meeting hasn't been decided yet, but it'll most likely be twice every month.
All right, thank you, Councillor Kim. Next would be CAC. So I uploaded my report for CAC for Bylaw 100. It's quite lengthy, it goes over everything we've done. I think we've had a really successful first trimester. I just like to reiterate how excited I am to continue being chair and getting everything done. The next big thing we're gonna have, other than the week of welcome involvement, is gonna be a redone council mentorship program that we'll be launching in time for the by-elections. But that's it for CAC. If you guys have any questions, ask me during question period. Next up is policy team. No, sorry, finance committee. Does anyone have a report for finance committee? All right, none. We will just glaze over that. Then we'll go on to policy.
Yes. So I encourage everyone to go check out the full chair's report that I have submitted on the agenda to see the breakdown of the whole summer that's occurred. But since the last council meeting, we've had two meetings. The first of those meetings, we went over kind of like a general overview of everything that we've done so far, kind of keeping track of where we're at with regards to our goals and things are looking good, as long as we keep on pushing forward. In the second meeting, we specifically discussed the internationalization policy, as well as the capital projects and nonpartisan policy, which have come forward for first reading and second reading respectively today. Our next meeting will be on the 30th of August from 6 to 8 p.m., where we'll be discussing the gender or equity, diversity, and inclusivity policy, the engagement policy, and the internationalization policy. And meetings in the fall will be on off council Tuesdays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Right, thank you, Councillor Rates. Is there anyone to report on nominating committee? No? All right. I think that's it. I'm forgetting one. What am I forgetting?
Sorry,
Executive committee.
Nothing overly substantive to add from the report or from the motions list. One thing I will highlight is that we did approve job descriptions and we'll be hiring two social media student positions. Great opportunity for anybody who might be interested in like communications in general and or for communications for youth in general. If you know anybody, please ask them to apply. It'd be great to see some people around.
Thank you, President Larson. Would anyone like to give any other board or committee reports? Yes, Governor Flatter.
So just a couple of quick things. It wasn't touched upon during the PAC report, but for anybody that came in late or didn't get theirs already, the council jackets are here. I'm immensely proud to finally get them before Week of Welcome. I think this is the first time in my 4 years here we've had that happen. So I'd like to thank Councillor Palandet for giving me the opportunity to spearhead this kind of from the get-go. And for anybody on the live stream, I'll keep them upstairs in the council office until you return and we can coordinate handing them out. Secondly, for anybody who remembers my council trivia from earlier in the trimester, Claudette Tardif was one of the board members who I tried to shine the spotlight on. And I've recently found out that due to some circumstances beyond her control, she had to resign her position. I'm quite sad to see her go. In my short time on the board, I think she's been one of the strongest voices on the board, one that's very student-focused and student experience-centric. So I'd like to wish her well in her future endeavors. And thirdly, our next board meeting's coming up. We have a board retreat that's going to be coming up soon. That President Larson and I are going to be taking part of. We're hoping you'll be learning a lot. And I will have no more and report more after that meeting is finished.
All right, thank you, Governor Clement. Any other board of committee reports? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to open forum. Do any guests of council have any questions for council? Yeah. No, you gotta talk loud.
Regarding one of the bills about the renewal of the SU policy on capital projects, I'm just curious as to what the definition of a capital project was.
Who are you directing that to?
I'll direct that to, I guess, the chair of the directorate to Councillor Rates.
All right, Councillor Rates.
Yes, so I can pull it up. To my understanding, it's not directly defined within the policy, unless I'm remembering it wrong, but it's purposely done that way to ensure that we're not counting things too tightly about what this policy can be defined or directed towards. That's my answer.
Cool. Thank you, Councilor Bates. Any other questions?
I guess could Albert's question to President Larson. Can you go more into details about the finalized version of the agreement with Boots Garner? The removing of the Boots Garner donation that would be cut out for.
Oh, yeah. I'll give a brief verbal and I can follow up with you directly about the actual details. We will be sponsoring a tax moot for the next 2 years. We will be providing a scholarship, a singular scholarship over 2 years. We'll be providing a permanent award, which is a new scholarship that the Students' Union will provide every single year going forward. And finally, there will be a donation given to the campus food bank over the next 2 years as well. I can follow up with more details as in like the value and the numbers immediately follow.
Thank you, President Larson. Any other questions? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to...
So I believe during his report, Governor Flynn and Governor Tara had resigned from the Board of Governors. When was that? And can you go into any more details on that?
Governor Flynn.
Thank you for the question. I can't go into more specifics because the reasons for leaving were of a personal nature, but that was recently within the last month or so. I don't have an exact date, but I can get back to that in a bit.
Thank you, Governor Flynn. All right, moving on to question period. Do any councilors have any questions? Councilor Maud.
We have lots. So I will ask a couple to President Larson. So it is in regards to the scholarships and everything. So I'm wondering if exec was involved in any of the discussions. I know that DOCAs have a final say at the end of the day, but I'm just wondering if like you gave an input or anything like that. And I would like you to keep us updated on what, like you mentioned, a robust system for donations and funding in the future, mm-hmm. on what that looks like, as well as with populations of students, you'll be looking at prioritizing the funds towards and everything. Yeah, and also.
Thank you, Councilor Molly.
Okay.
Okay, for the attempts of the first part of the question in regards to, do we have input into that? Yes, I worked with our GM and Moody's throughout the entire process. It was more or less just kind of finalizing what their vision was going to be, as this was a continuing effort from them. They had already put in 2 years, so they wanted to see that at minimum their initial investments continued, and then we talked about the scholarships and other that. The details for what the scholarship parameters will be, I think, have to be worked out, but I know that it will be likely be for law students, just because of Moody's tax law. The second bit about developing a more robust system for fundraising. We just completed about a week ago a briefing on a research briefing on what opportunities and what other students' unions might be doing on donations, especially in particular charitable donations. Turns out nobody does it, so we're going to be a leader in the country in taking specific charitable donations for scholarships and bursaries, hopefully. What that looks like will be an attempt by the end of my term to try and put together an actual campaign charitable drive for hopefully a specific service and or for a specific type of scholarship. We haven't kind of defined what that'll be yet because there's a massive difference between what is large donors giving for a certain project and micro donations towards a service. So working out what we want to challenge first is what my next big challenge is. Thirdly, for where those scholarships should go, There is currently a general lack of what I would call open scholarships, in particular with our own, which are just more open to the public based on qualities of leadership, of community, and of economic hardship. So we'll try and do those ones first. Some people here may implicitly know about how we have a donation that, a scholarship that you have to be a Rough Riders fan.
Thank you, President.
Although it's funny, we do want to avoid
Thank you, President Larson. Any other questions? That's all.
Yeah, so in regards to the deferred, this is directed to President Larson again. In regards to the deferred maintenance that you got the report back from the university, was there any mention of FAB? Like, was there any overlap regarding FAB? And also, I don't know if you can direct this to Albert. Because you mentioned it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, in regards to the social media positions, why was
Thank you, Councilor Molly. Thank you.
Right on.
Larson.
To answer the first question around FAB, I'll have to follow up with you. We did almost every faculty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that the arts faculty had input. I can't remember the top of it. It's very specific information. But I'll follow up with whatever it does affect FAB. On regards to the student, I didn't get to hear the end of your question. There'll be two student positions. It's just within budget parameters of marketing that were outlined in last year's budget principles. Okay. Oh, why students? It gives a more student voice, in all honesty. We had two options, which was hire permanent staff that might not be a student, or to hire two students. I think it kind of goes along with the policy of like every year we redo WOW, because in its current to that generation. So in my mind, it's kind of cool if every year we give an opportunity to two social media experts, who are also students, to develop what that year's voice, or what the field will be. Also goes into strategic planning for marketing and communications, which is to emphasize social media marketing far more closely, and to have a consistent presence, not a, there's an event, like that's not what we want.
Thank you for the lesson. Any other questions? All right, seeing none, we'll move into board and committee business. I'd like to defer this to Councilor Pibidot to introduce, as I am currently speaking.
Absolutely.
All right, which members?
Audit committee.
Yeah, we are looking to appoint one member of audit committee, student council audit committee. We're coming up with our meeting schedule, although we meet probably about once a month. Meetings are pretty short for audit committee. Most of the work is done offline. If there's any other questions, feel free to ask me. All
right, so I'd like to open the floor to nominations. Mr. Badger.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Eggerwalk.
I respect the question.
Show of hands, who's on audit right now?
I can write it down.
Thank you.
Councilor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Belfort.
Councilor Belfort?
I will respectfully
decline. Vice President
Bourgeois? Oh, I'd have not selected. I'll be President Bourgeois.
Yes, Vice President Backer.
Nominate Councilor Bose.
I accept.
You accept? All right. Any other nominations? Councilor Belfort?
I'd like to nominate Councilor Sunday.
I respectfully decline.
Any other nominations? All right, seeing none, congratulations, Councilor Bose.
Yes. Hi, everyone. So as I mentioned previously, Bylaw Committee is looking to welcome one more member to our lovely committee. So basically what we do is that we're responsible for drafting bylaws, reviewing, and maybe creating one. And also when it comes time, also the referendum and the plebiscite questions as required. And we also make recommendations on bylaws to the Students' Council. So currently we are meeting twice a month, alternating days from council. And another benefit is that our meeting is next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. And you will get to be part of setting the schedule for the fall semester. That's about it.
All right. Cool. I'll open the floor to nominations. Councilor Molly.
I'd like to nominate
Black. Proxy to Councillor Bielak.
Councillor Bielak informed me who would accept this nomination.
Any other nominations? Councillor.
I would like to nominate Councillor Agarwal.
I would like to respectfully decline.
Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Mongale.
I decline.
Any other nominees? Vice President
Bourgeois? Nominee Councillor Lynn?
back there. I respectfully decline.
Right. Any other nominations? Vice President Bourgeois?
Nominee Councillor Reitz?
I was on it and I stepped down.
You know what a change of heart.
Sound breathy.
No, are you actually
declined?
Okay. Any other nominations?
Thank you. I nominate VP Bourgeois.
I respectfully decline.
Oh. Any other nominations?
I would like to nominate Councillor Staff.
Okay, before I I want to check with the chair. We haven't finalized 100% our time schedule, right? Because the current one they have set up was
for audit?
Yeah.
Meetings will be.
Audit's pretty flexible. I think you should accept.
Okay, I'll accept that. Thank you.
Actually.
Yes.
One more nominee. Can I nominate Councilor Bisbee? Is he an online platform?
Councilor Bisbee. Are you here? Yeah, she's here. I'll give her 10 seconds. All right, no response from Councilor. Governor Thumb.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Cobos.
Chelsea Kovanis, you've been nominated for a bylaw committee. Would you like to accept or decline? She accepts.
Cool.
Any other nominations? All right, seeing none, we'll move into speeches. So everyone who's nominated, you get 2 minutes, and we'll go in order of nomination. Councilor Kovas, please just type out something, and I will read it to council for you. We'll start with the proxy for Councilor Bilak.
In the last day, I don't know Robert all that well and everything, but from my experience in the past year, I do have to say that I've been impressed by his leadership skills and his drive to be involved and highly involved in student governance, with his various positions within PSUA, OASIS, and on council, I believe GFC as well. I think that just like that drive and that his initiative he has shown on being so interested and involved with consumer governance at all various levels is a quality enough that should deserve one of these nominations.
Good speech. All right, Councilor Staff.
Well, I'm not sure how to follow up there. I also know Bilak, and I think you'd be great for the position. but I guess I should probably put myself up a bit, so I well, I've been a bylaw class, and I find those rules around that quite interesting. I think it would be cool to develop in it and work on them through the school year, all in the interest of students. I do a bit of this business background. I'm not sure how much that will help. But I also am a lifelong learner, so I believe in always taking on new challenges and trying to grow in that way. I think this is a great opportunity to do so. And of course, I already accepted the invite to run for this, so I would appreciate a vote if the council feels qualified for the position. So.
All right. Councilor Kovas, do you have anything for me to read?
Point of privilege?
Yes.
I cannot see the names on the screen.
Hold the mic.
Wonderful, thank you.
All right. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. That is your time to talk. Starting now. Be really interesting contributing my time and ideas to the committee. All right. Everyone will have one vote. So let's do heads down, hands up style voting. We'll just begin now. All right. Councilor Bilak.
department for inquiry?
Yes.
Did you turn the camera away or something?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Hands down. Counselor Stan. All right. Hands down. Counselor Cole. All right, hands down. All right, everyone, heads up.
Cool.
The winner will be Counselor Bilak.
Oh, wow.
Sunday/lay move to approve first principles of Bill Number 4, Students Council Committee Chairs Training. Would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes. So as can be seen by the motion for the first principles, as many chairs know, there can be a steep learning curve when it is both your first time as a chair and chair of a new committee. So basically, these first principles were just to put forward so that we can change bylaw 100 so that we can have specific guidelines set in place. For example, in the chair's transition report, we can outline what needs to be in it, things like that. This isn't directed at what Discover Governance needs to do. This is more directed at what chairs can do for the next year's chair, if that makes sense. So if everybody has read it, I am up for debate.
I'll open the floor to debate. It will be open. Oh, on the screen in a second. Sorry, I'm just trying to find it.
Question for the chair of bylaw. I missed the end of the last bylaw meeting. Was the comment from VP Ripka mentioned if this is within the scope of Discover Governance, if this is possible to do with the support of Discover Governance?
All right, Governor Klein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While I do appreciate the intent of what this is trying to do, I feel that over the years we've started using bylaws, which are like the highest guiding principles at the SU, to be too micromanaging. And I do think that this is more of a something of a departmental issue that if we worked with Rebecca and Discover Governance, we can probably achieve more with less. I do agree that transition over the year has often been dysfunctional and we do need something like this. I just don't think this is the best way to go about it myself.
Councilor Kidd.
Yes, so to Councilor David's question, so we have discussed regarding this talk and then we were mentioning that, oh, we're not actually talking about asking Discover Governance to do anything specifically. So basically we are just laying down what we are already doing, whether it's like a transition report or what we should expect from chair, whether it's like having a group chair's training or something like that we might be expecting from the chair prior. So my basic idea was that it was my first time as a counselor and first time as a chair, and only thing that has been given to me was a transition report and no guideline. And I have no idea on how to use the full, like modified wellness rules of order, how the communities are run, there was nothing really provided. So there is a very steep learning curve when 2 weeks after the first meeting, you have to actually run the meeting by yourself. So this is where, within our chair's meeting, it has been discussed. And this is like the first principle guideline that we have came up with.
All right, thank you. President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have been a chair of a committee before that has had a fairly long and arduous transition process. So I can fully understand the content, or at least the message of this bill. I am going to be voting against because I do believe that the entirety of this bill fits in standing orders, Students' Council standing orders in particular. I do believe a section of Student Council standing orders should be written to be chair's mandate for standing committees, or just chair's mandate, in which we can also outline the fact that we do chair's meetings now as a regular practice, that transition is an important aspect of being a chair, and finally, it allows for a bit of flexibility, which allows, so CAC can change standing orders basically with one vote. So if we did notice that there was something lacking or needed within that, that's why it'd be quicker and more responsive. Finally, the standing orders are meant to be the ongoing instructions for Students' Council on how to go about its business. I see this as something of Students' Council business, or at least logistics. We do know that Discover Governance can certainly help, and we will follow forward making sure that the logistical needs of Student Council are a little bit more pointedly looked after.
President Larson, Councilor Sunday.
I guess I forgot to mention, the main purpose behind these first principles was at the combined chairs meeting, I won't say which chairs, but there were a number of chairs who this was an issue with transition. Many chairs either were chairs of committee before, or they didn't find that their chair's transition report helped them whatsoever, and it was very hard for them the first couple months. And as a result, productivity, I suppose, was lacking. And as well, for example, as you can see, all the chairs reports that were in this agenda, the what needs to be included in those reports is outlined in bylaw. So I believe, I'm pretty sure, is outlined in bylaw. So yeah. So for example, that is one thing that a chair has to do, which is outlined in bylaw, and it puts what needs to be in there. So that's what we thought that it would fit like this, I suppose. But yeah.
Thank you, Councilor Sunday. Any other debate? Councilor Thibodeau.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yep.
Would I be able to defer part of my speaking turn to another councillor?
You could, but I will just state that no councillors have used up all their speaking turns, so I don't see why.
That is fair. so then I just have another question for the chair of bylaw then, and it would be, who, if this is not meant to be put on to the responsibility of Discover Governance, who would be responsible for facilitating things like the group chair training, and is there a mechanism in place to ensure that this is done? And I'd like to defer the rest of my speaking turn to Councillor Kim.
Great, I haven't used my speaking terms, but so for the group chairs training, we were actually still on the discussion, because as you can see, it's like the first principle, but we were talking about more or less between the previous chairs. Like same thing with chair shadowing. We were talking about also when will be the timeline, because the chairs are all like usually done by like the March, or their meetings are ending by end of the March, and what if people are not councilor yet and things like that. So we made it in a way that if people were like planning to run into council, or people who are more interested in becoming a chair of the council or see what's going on, we'll be taking those like opportunities and actually like meet up with the chair before their term ends.
All right, thank you, Councilor Kim. Councilor Batnagar. Vice President Batnagar, sorry.
So I do echo the thoughts of President Larson, and I also will be voting against this, just because it's not that I don't agree that chairs deserve training, but that bylaw is definitely not the place for this to happen. Something as substantive as training is not something that can happen with just the support of just counselors, and I do believe that we should be including offices like Discover Governance, whose job is to be a resource for student representatives across campus and who work to improve the relationships and the quality and effectiveness of the work that we do. So by putting this in student council standing orders, there'll be a better way for us to collaborate and work with Discover Governance for them to outline and create better chairs, transitions for student council chairs.
Thank you. Councilor Sanjay.
So I was going to say, in regards to Councilor Thibodeau's question, for chairs group training and things like that, these first principles are intentionally vague. Going into the nitty-gritty of what that will exactly look like is then the second principle, so we haven't actually discussed what that would look like in particular. As well, I would argue that just because, if, for example, this does go to bylaw, doesn't mean that Discover Governance, or we can't include Discover Governance in the discussions. Otherwise, that would mean that everything in bylaw, we couldn't have the help of Discover Governance, which doesn't make any sense.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday.
I just had a question about if this does live in bylaw, and then say you make a mistake, for example, like are you going to get a fine or a disciplinary or something if you break a bylaw because it lives in bylaw?
Thank you, Councillor Pollan. Any other debate?
From my understanding, I believe there's no specific section around like bylaw or any student union policy that gives like penalty or things like that. But usually when the bylaws are broken or there's a way for us to identify the issue, it goes through the die board, which they will do their work and then figure out what they need to be the consequences or if there is any consequences related to it.
Councilor Kim, any other debate? Councilor Miller, you've already spoken to me. You have to raise your hand. Councilor Rates?
This is just going to be a general call out. Could someone just provide a fulsome description of the difference between the standing orders and the bylaws?
All right, thank you, Councilor Rates. Councilor Palmer?
Oh, you can help me.
Councilor Thibodeau.
Thank you very much, Councillor Palmer. I'd just like to say I'll be voting against this motion. I understand that this is, I disagree with the sentiment that this should be falling on the responsibility of the previous year's chairs. We know that it's an open nomination to run as chair for any committee at the first committee meeting, and if there is a decision later than March or in April to run for chair, then they're still at the same disadvantage that they would be currently. It should be a third party who is running and ensuring that these responsibilities are met, and I think that's why we need to ensure that DG has the capacity to help facilitate these bylaws and to make sure that the the chair training can actually take place. I understand that the bylaw itself is intentionally vague so that there's room for bylaw to actually hammer out the details, but I do believe that we should have more detail than we have now before moving forward.
Thank you, Councillor Thibodeau. President Larson?
For a quick explanation as to the difference between standing orders and bylaw, bylaw is the premier piece of legislation that defines the broad scope of the students' union and the delegated authorities that we hold to do those sort of things. It's directly related to the Post-Secondary Learning Act, and we can delegate our authority to several other committees, faculty associations, residents, there on the floor. Also deals very specifically with fees, as that is something we have to include within our bylaws. Standing orders of council are the rules in which we govern our own group, our own council. There are standing orders for all committees, and they also govern how those committees will run their meetings, run their stuff. I'm going to read from papers, which is from the Students' Union website, Bylaw 100. Standing orders of student council are ongoing instructions to members of student council and Students' Union staff respecting the manner of execution of Students' Council's logistics. So if we include within standing orders the logistical nature of what we would determine to be appropriate chairs, training, and transition, I do believe that we can have that more wholesome discussion with CAC as to the specifics that might be different between different chairs, between different opportunities, and as well as outline some of the other things we already do, which is chairs meetings, ongoing conversations with DG, and hopefully a little bit of a more clear accountability process for that unit in general, which I do think is needed.
President Larson. Governor Flatt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. President Larson just worded everything, I was going to say, much better than I would have said it. But I did find it very interesting that it specifically says that in standing orders, it is the ongoing instruction, and that's intent. essentially what this is trying to do, instruct the outgoing chair and the incoming chair, along with any support staff that are needed, to ensure that the incoming chair has all the tools and resources they need to do an effective job coming in. So I think this is probably a discussion we can have at TAC early in the fall term. So I would be voting against this.
Thank you, Governor Flavin. Any other debate? I suppose it's good.
For the reasons identified by President Larson, amongst others, that will also be voted against. Steve Martin,
please vote.
Thanks, Steve Martin.
Yes. Any other questions? Or debate, sorry. Any other debate? All right, seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Okay, Sunday special aid move to approve first principles of Bill Number 4 since Council Committee's Chair of Training. All in favor? All opposed? All right, motion, any abstentions? Motion fails.
5-3.
Alright, yes, it still fails. Alright, it's now 7:29. I'm going to call for recess, so please return back at 7:40.
Attendance.
We'll do attendance first, no one move.
No one move.
I've got this. Okay. Right, President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Batnagar.
Present.
Item. Sunday/Kim on the recommendation of Bylaw Committee to approve the second principles of Bill Number 3, which I will.
Going to parliamentary inquiry?
Yep.
I think you have to do attendance.
I did attendance before.
So you have to do
it
before.
We only do it 3 times. Thank God. Okay. Does anyone know what page Bill 3 is on?
Big one.
Yep. It's long. From 50 on.
Oh, all right. I can't get on the screen. Forget it. All right. It's in the homepage.
So.
Okay. Would you like to introduce the motion?
Yes. So here is the second principles of the first principles. We had brought, I believe, at the last council meeting or the one previous. To change the makeup of Students' Council committees, so basically to get rid of oversight and legislative, combine it into one standing committee. Both myself and Councillor Belcourt have been working on this slowly for months, and then after, of course, we got the first principles, and they were approved, we had increased our work on this, and we're happy to present this to Councillor.
Thank you.
All right, any debate?
I just want to give like a background as to like why this happened, like why this came about and stuff. It started last year when ARC was an ad hoc and we were developing our standing orders. Yeah, and we put it so that there was students at large because ARC has Indigenous representatives on it. And when we put like the students at large, there was a motion brought to council that made it so that ARC that was requesting whatever languages that you use. That students at large couldn't vote, and that was turned down. But then immediately after, without like consultation with ARC, bylaw brought forward bill 5 last year, and the bill like changed bylaw 100 to make it so that there was like these different like categories of committees, and like one was legislative and one was. One was legislative and one was oversight committee. And then like they had like different language and stuff like that. Like essentially they held the same power, but there was language that was used. Like one had delegated legislative function, which was unnecessary. And then there was also like for you to like create and disassemble it. Like the language that was used, like one was, I'm like trying to remember all this information before, but one was two readings, and I think one was like two majority votes. So there was a different process to creating disassembling, and it created like an imbalance, a power imbalance, and the only one that fell into the kind of like the one that was a little bit lesser.
Councillor Belcourt. Any other? President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a more specific question to the members of the committee, whoever feels they are equipped to answer it, which is 12, standing committee membership, first principles regarding changes to this bylaw in regards to standing committee membership can only be brought forward by the standing committee in question or the council administration committee. I'm just looking to see if I can get a little bit more of the reasoning for that number one. Largely because I can understand the idea that the committee should be aware of potential changes that are being proposed for that committee. However, quite often first principles can either be submitted directly to council or can be recommended by bylaw, and then the process allows for those changes to follow. So that is a substantive change from the current process, and I would just be curious as to the reason.
Oh, sorry, Councilor Sunday.
So specifically for this, the reason why first principles are tied to the committee in question is because last year the problems we had with ARC, where basically although we were against it, bylaw committee had still brought forward, although not necessarily about membership, still brought forward the changes so that ARC became an oversight committee and all the other committees of council were legislative. So because of that, and that was done against ARC's wishes, we want to ensure specifically for ARC that in the future, bylaw committee cannot change the number, for example, of student at-larges we have or other things like that. And I guess the committee had thought, when we discussed this at bylaw committee as well, that it made sense for the committee in question to bring forward changes to its membership rather than bylaw committee, who may not have any dealings with the committee prior to this. And as well, just in case there is a really big push for changes to a committee structure, if the committee, for example, doesn't bring first principles forward, then it can go to the council administration. So we kind of had that.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. Any further debate? Governor Klein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question regarding section, I guess, 12 and 14. Now, under 14 for a quorum of standing committees, whereas points 1, 2, and 3 are essentially number the 50% plus one of the committees, I'm curious how the number of, Environmental Relations and Reconciliation Committee has a quorum of 6 permanent members when there's 88 people on the potential number of seats on the committee. And then I just wanted to echo what President Washington said about that point where first principles relating to this bylaw, meaning bylaw 100, can only be changed by the standing committee in question or council administration committee, and that takes away any member at large can bring first principles now, whereas now they wouldn't be able to bylaw 100 then. That does take away a significant amount of what counselors can do individually, essentially.
Thank you, Governor Klein. Councillor Sunday?
So specifically, the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee has a similar structure to CAP, in which we have permanent membership, which counts towards quorum, and the student at-larges do not count towards quorum. So that is where the 6 member came from. As well, in my mind, 12.1 does not take away from the bylaw committee's ability to change bylaw 100 because it specifically states only in regards to standing committee membership. So bylaw committee would still have control over the entirety of bylaw 100 besides that, and bylaw committee would still be responsible for drafting the second principles. So at least to our mind, when we discussed this at bylaw committee, it doesn't really take necessarily power away from bylaw committee. In our minds, at least when it was discussed, is that it made it more equitable.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. Any further debate? Councillor Thibodeau.
Motion to amend the motion the section we were just talking about, section 12, subsection 8, the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee's membership, just to reflect that the three members of Student Council, the two members of exec, and the others there would be the permanent membership. And then as well, there would be all 38 Student Council voting members and up to 39 self-identifying Aboriginal undergraduate students.
That's a friendly amendment.
Great.
And it's a long one.
I was also
wording. A through E are permanent.
Yes. Okay. All right, that amendment is accepted as friendly. So, President Larson.
I do want to speak in favor of second principles. Following whatever other healthy debate we have on this in general, I will make an amendment to 12, standing committee membership 1, to read to be that it's not necessarily brought forward, but must require a recommendation, simply because that language would allow a little bit for bylaws to retain its ability to change things according to first principles that are brought forward by the committee at large, by Students' Council at large. However, that would also require those counselors to go and get a recommendation and go forward and otherwise go through the process of getting that from the committee they wish to change. It's a subtle difference, but I do think it will allow for just a little bit more access than pushing bylaw changes to other committees other than bylaw itself.
Thank you, President Larson. Any further debate?
To the amendment or to the motion?
Oh, sorry, yes, is the motion to amend taken as friendly?
I put my hand up and make the amendment.
Great.
Okay. I would like to propose an amendment to read 12, Standing Committee Membership 1, First Principles regarding changes to this bylaw in regards to Standing Committee Membership can only be brought forward by the Standing Committee in question or the Council Administration, I'm reading out as it says now, can only be brought forward by Standing Committee in question or the Council Administration Committee. The proposed wording would be First Principles regarding changes to this bylaw in regards to Standing Committee Membership must require a recommendation from the Standing Committee in question.
That's right.
Great. Motion accepted as friendly. Any other debate on the original motion? Governor Flatt.
Question for President Larson, I guess.
Yeah.
With the after the amended changes, how does this, does it still handcuff, I guess, members at large, like individual private members from changing this, the bylaw? And would it be more beneficial, I guess, maybe just a slight change again, first principles regarding changes to this section, meaning section 12, as opposed to this bylaw, meaning bylaw 100 in its entirety?
Any further debate? All right, seeing none.
I'd like to call for division.
All right. All right, President Larson.
In favor.
Vice President Batnagar.
In favor.
Vice President Brown.
In favor.
Vice President Ripka. To all those on the live stream, please send me your votes in the public chat. Vice President Bourgeois.
In favor.
Governor Flyman. Governor Flyman.
What?
Yes. Councilor Nick.
Yep.
Councilor Coates. Councilor Anderson. Councilor Rates.
In favor.
Councilor Molly.
Favor.
Councilor Husseini. Councilor Bielak.
In favor.
Councilor Carr voted in favor. Councilor Lay.
In favor.
Councilor Stapp.
In favor.
Councilor Ferris, not present. Councilor Thibodeau.
In favor.
Councilor Anzari. Councilor Down. Councilor Rosalind. Councillor Bose.
In favor.
Councillor Mustafa. Councillor Chung. Councillor St. Hilaire votes in favor. Councillor Sunday.
In favor.
Councillor Bertaroli. President. Councillor Palmer.
In favor.
Councillor Azuki votes in favor.
In favor.
Councillor Dush.
In favor.
Councillor Kim.
In favor.
Councillor DePinto.
In favor.
Councillor Agarwal.
In favor.
Councillor Risby votes in favor. Councillor Bruce votes in favor. And Councillor Buffer votes in favor. Therefore, based on the votes, it passes unanimously. Alright, moving on to 7E. Rates moves on behalf of the policy committee to approve the first principles of the capital projects policy. Would you like to introduce the motion?
Yes. So this is the first principles of the capital projects policy. It's received considerable review and further discussion at the policy committee. And the first road that we're going to take involved pretty drastic changes of the policy. However, that wasn't described as the best route because it was sort of outside of the scope of what the political policies. What their intent is for the Students' Union. They're meant to be external, guiding external advocacy, but the route that we were thinking of taking was guiding internal sort of operations, but that would be the operations policy. So that sort of route was scrapped. The second sort of bout review on this policy was focused on a jurisdictional scan, looking at if any other school had something we could compare this to. No other school at the federal level with the organization that we're a part of had a similar policy. So it's an asset to have such a policy, and we stand out because we have one. And so we brought it forward to the committee for discussion, some smaller amendments were added to better discuss what capital projects were, but not wholeheartedly define it so that it wasn't too prescriptive of a description. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So I look forward to the discussion that we have around this. All
right, I'd like to open the floor to any debate. President Larson.
I was going to bring it up, but there is, I'll see if I can use my own language to describe it, but there is kind of a definition for what a capital project is, which normally has to do with purchasing or developing property or assets of an association, organization, or otherwise. Somebody who's in business can likely describe this a lot better than I can, looking at VP Brown now that he has joined us. But generally, it is towards those deferred. And this particular thing would kind of bind us in the way that we would ask for those sort of funding for any of our projects, which I think is a very healthy and straightforward policy. And I will be voting in favor.
Any other debate? Councilor Palmer.
I just wondered if we still wanted to keep the wording academic spaces rather than or academic resource spaces rather than
all right, thank you, Councillor Palmer. Any other debate? Councillor Reyes.
To Councillor Palmer, would you be able to describe exactly what you're referring to if there's like that academic spaces or where academic spaces and only academic spaces are being referred to? Trying to find it.
I thought of our conversation.
Sorry, you have to. Okay. All right, Councillor Palmer?
Yep, in our conversation in policy meeting, we had grappled with the concept of gardens and mental health spaces for students to have a timeout. And we settled on academic resources, or it was worded as academic resources.
Councillor Molly? You will be next. Councillor Lay.
Oh,
God. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we did talk about that, but I think we decided to go with the way it is this way, partly because that goes under point H, which says space for student resources, which I think would include most of those things, and I think it's a definition that's broad enough, but it's also restrictive enough
like, because student resources is in there, it has to be specifically directed towards students, and the university's not going to use it to build, like, a rock garden or something. And also, at the top, these are more meant to be guidelines. They're not actually restrictive. Point six says can include, but are not limited to. So there would be some discretion there. So I don't think we need to be more specific than we have been. We've already made up quite the list here.
That's
small.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was
going to
say.
Awesome. Vice President Brown.
Yeah, I was going to say something very similar, but I will just echo some of what has been said by President Larson as well, that this is a policy that does give us direction, as Council Rates noted. We are one of the only students' unions, student associations in the country with something like this. Puts us in a very solid position, especially with the university, to use this. And it is, as Councilor Lay said, it is general enough, broad enough rather, but it includes specific examples under point six on facts that will help fortify our position. As well, I will specifically note my admiration for the point that, or for the general sense of this policy that encourages the transparency of the university and the safe usage of student dollars, which has not always necessarily been the case in the past, but I hope that this will allow us to continue to push for that transparency.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. Any further debate? All right, seeing none, we will call this to a vote. All in favor? All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, motion passes. All right, moving on to item 7F. Rates rose on behalf of the policy committee to approve the second principles of the nonpartisan political policy. Would I introduce the motion?
Yes, I will defer my time halfway through if this is appropriate to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll just introduce it really quickly. With little discussion that occurred around this policy last meeting, we took another look over this at our last policy meeting and opted to have no changes made because we felt very comfortable with how the policy had been crafted. And so I'll defer the rest of my time to the EP Brown just to discuss the policy.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't receive any further feedback or comments after the first reading, which I took to mean that this looks pretty good to everybody, which I appreciate. I will reiterate, like I did in first reading, that having something like this puts us in a very stable position as an organization, especially when advocating the government. For different parties to know that we are coming in as an unbiased and nonpartisan voice is one of our greatest attributes, and it gives us the biggest leg up we could probably ever ask for in advocating the government. So I think this political policy definitely puts us on the right foot.
All right, any debate? Vice President Bruno.
Yeah, I did hear something about this. Some folks from the university administration said that they saw that we passed first principles on this, and they said that was great, and I think they liked it.
All right, any further debate? Councilor Reitz.
Would you think we're all be able to describe who those people were?
Thank you for your question.
Is that your second speaking turn?
What?
Hello. Vice President Berger.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. Their name, I'm struggling to remember. Chad. Their name is Chad. they work in finance.
Beauty.
Okay. Vice
President.
I just want to add a fun fact reiterating this. University administration actually pay attention a lot to what we do here, and they read the Gateway very regularly.
Oh.
And the minutes.
And the minutes.
Which is good.
All right, any other debate?
Just to reiterate from our last meeting, I'm just as in favor of this now as I was when we passed the first principles. This is how we've always run, but it's nice to have it in black and white on paper. So I strongly urge everybody to vote in favor.
Any other debate? Seeing none, I will call this to vote. All in favor? All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the motion passes. And with that, we exhaust our agenda.
attendance.
Yes, attendance. Thank you.
And if it's
so long,
I'm
38.
If it's, if I may, this is, I'm going to propose, and everybody here can shut me down. I would like to just address the assembly for just 1 minute before we all leave.
Go for it.
Thank you, Mr. Chief. I'd like to congratulate everyone on making it through your first semester in the 2018 academic year as student counselors. I do want to say this has been likely the most productive semester I have been a part of here at Students Council. One of the friendliest, continues to really impress me, the level of work commitment and otherwise put in by this group. So thank you very much for all of that hard work. It's just over 100 days. We've got 365 more to go. I look forward to all of it.
That's not how math
works. But thank you so much, folks. Look forward to the rest of it.
President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Batnagar.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Erica on the live stream. Vice President Bourgeois.
Yeah.
Governor Flannan.
Here.
Councillor Lynn.
Yep.
Councillor Coates is on the live stream. Councillor Anderson is on the live stream. Councillor Rates. Councillor Molly.
Here.
Yeah.
Councillor Vilak.
Yeah.
Councillor Cunard. Councillor Lynn.
Here.
Councillor Staff?
Here.
Councillor Thibodeau?
Here.
Councillor Ansari? Councillor Leon? Councillor Rosalind? Councillor Bose?
Here.
Councillor Mustafa? Councillor Chubb? Councillor St. Clair? Councillor Sunday? Councillor Brinaroli? Councillor Palmer?
Over here, over there.
Councillor Izuki?
Yeah.
Councillor Hajush?
Yeah.
Councillor Kim?
Here.
Councillor DePinto.
Here.
Councillor Agarwal.
Here.
Councillor Rizvi. Councillor Bruce. Councillor Bogart.
You know the corner?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Is that Ravina indicated? Okay. Excellent. Until Sunday, Jenna. Hope you have a good night wherever you go.
Yo, girls! 10, maybe 15 minutes. Pull up. It's gonna be so
okay.
fun.
Does anyone else want